committee meeting started. We'll wait on one other council member before we can officially approve the minutes. But as of right now, we have Sheldon Towers, Smiley, Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, myself, and my aides taking minutes. So as soon as we get another member in, we'll move to officially adopt the minutes and go from there. First item. Okay, Councilman Rudd is here. I'll entertain a motion now.
Motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes approved. First item on the agenda, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I'd like to have a discussion on Ordinance 12-057. It is what we're calling our Universal Design Ordinance. If you want to take a look at the ordinance, what you can see is that basically the changes come in by having for an age-restricted community the six options for the six universal design elements, and then if you are a non-age-restricted community, people are encouraged to include these design elements. We have folks here. Deborah Young is a member of our Subcommittee on Aging, as well as folks from AARP, Brian Posey, and Judy Taggart, who wears many hats in this county, but today she's with AARP. The Subcommittee on Aging started really researching this this issue in 2010. As you know, with any new changes, we got a lot of support from land use. It's been through the PLUS process. It went to the Planning Board, and it now comes to you after really almost 2 years. So what we really envision is that people will have options when they move into particularly age-restricted communities. We zeroed in on these six different elements of universal design, and what we really looked at, and I want to thank people who attended the Subcommittee on Aging meetings during this time. Councilman Smiley, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Cartier also attended some of the meetings, and we looked at this as if people would have these options given to them. AARP is also working with the Home Builders Association to develop a brochure that could be placed to help educate people. But this is really, you know, as we know that Newcastle County is aging. By 2020, we're going to have 25% more elderly folks in this county, and it just makes sense to think about universal design as we go forward.
Let the record reflect that Councilwoman Kilpatrick has joined us. Councilman Street, Councilman Bell will not be able to make it today. He had sent a note. Okay, Councilwoman, what's your pleasure now? You want to do a presentation? Or you just want to?
I think we have folks here. Deborah Young would like to do a brief statement, and I think AARP would like to speak to the ordinance.
Okay. I just ask that when I call upon you to please rise, state your name, because this is me and Kate, and obviously Kate is the president who's speaking. So please come.
My name is Deborah Young.
You can have a seat if you want.
I'll come over here and I'll hold it.
Yes.
I'm a member of the Subcommittee on Aging, and I support Ordinance 12057. As an occupational therapist that specializes in environmental modifications and the wife of a person with a spinal cord injury, I'm very passionate about universal design. Universal design is frequently confused with accessible design. The ADA and accessible design grew out of the civil rights movement of the 60s. It was an equal opportunity in the structural sense. This type of design is thought of as addressing the needs of an individual who has a disability. Accessible features are features that may not work for anyone else in the household. These features comply with minimum standards, but typically do not carry market appeal. Accessibility generally achieves functional solutions for people with extreme human performance characteristics or people who are regarded to as having disabilities. Universal design is the design of products and environments to be usable by all people to the greatest extent possible without the need for adaptation or specialized design. Universal design is an approach to building environments that accommodate a wide range of human performance characteristics, including the way people use space, with well-integrated usability features that have broad market appeal for achieving ease of use, safety, and convenience. It accommodates the reality that all people, regardless of age, exist along a continuum of human performance and other characteristics such as size and weight, right and left-handedness, variations in strength, stamina, balance, vision, hearing, and cognitive ability. Instead of considering the users of design as fully able-bodied or disabled, a universal approach considers that they have varying degrees of ability and disability. For most of us, universal design is convenience. It is a no-step entry into your home where you can easily glide your rolling suitcase, your rolling golf club bag, push a stroller, or even carry groceries or move furniture in with a little less effort. It also happens to make the home accessible to persons who use canes, walkers, and wheelchairs. It's convenience when you don't need it and flexible for when you actually do need it. When done correctly, it is nearly invisible, blending in with the rest of the design of the home. We are all temporarily able-bodied. Life happens when we least expect it. May it be a skiing accident that leaves us with a long leg cast, or if your mother-in-law all of a sudden has a change in medical condition and needs to stay with you for a few weeks, or maybe a little bit longer. Universal design features allow a homeowner to confidently remain in place at times of temporary disability and as abilities change over time, while improving independence, affordability, marketability, user image, and identity. Ongoing research also points to improved health outcomes for those who live in more supportive universal design homes, because a universal design home can, one, be safer by reducing falls with features like better lighting, handrails, and slip-resistant flooring, reduce daily stress and strains with convenience features such as easier storage and more appropriate work height stations, and promote mental health by maintaining connection to family and community. With regard to the healthcare system, universal design is believed to be the cause of fewer injuries and less healthcare demand, thus saving state and federal tax dollars by reducing Medicare and Medicaid expenditures. Unfortunately, many people are still not aware of universal design and do not know to ask for these features in their homes. I support this ordinance as I think it is important to create more awareness of universal design features and how they are a convenience and a benefit for those wishing to age in their desired home. Thank you.
Questions from members of council for the speaker? Councilman Co-Chair Retta.
Thank you. Ms. Young?
Yes.
I support this ordinance. Oh, there you are. I saw your sweater over there. It fell down. I support this ordinance wholeheartedly. I really think it's a good thing. I've seen it on TV and different shows that they had. But one thing I didn't see in here, and I haven't heard it from you, and maybe I don't know about AARP, is sprinklers. When you start getting into the age or people with disabilities, it's harder for them to get out of their house if they have a problem. Everybody thinks that if you have a sprinkler in a room, it'll go off over the whole house, and it won't. It'll only go off in that one particular area where you have a problem. Now, if you're sleeping and you don't hear that alarm on the smoke alarm, or it wakes you up after the fact of the problem, is more intense. A sprinkler will not do that. It'll go off. Where smoke, most of the time, kills people. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on sprinklers. I know that there's a lot of contention around sprinklers right now. And I'm not discussing it from the standpoint of a universal design need. As it stands right now, there are actual bronze, silver, and gold level features for universal design. I don't believe sprinklers are added into those bronze, silver, and gold level features of universal design, which were created by the Center of Universal Design in North Carolina University. So with regard to the ordinance that we're putting forth, I don't have any other comment regarding sprinklers, because we're looking at some basic universal design features to start with in regards to creating awareness for the consumer when they're going to purchase a home.
So your safety in here that you're referring to is only for universal design, enough for safety features of the whole gamut?
It's specific to universal design features. And I wouldn't consider a sprinkler necessarily a universal design feature, and that's what my focus is looking at universal design versus current standard design for building homes versus accessible design. I think you have a good topic, but I am not going to speak to it only because it's not a universal design feature that I'm discussing at this time for this ordinance. It's something that could be some creating awareness for homeowners as well, but in this ordinance we're looking to try and pass. It's in with regard to creating their awareness of what universal design features are out there for when they go to purchase a home.
I was just going to say,
Councilwoman Doerr.
Joe, when we took a whole list of universal design features, and we basically went through them piece by piece and came up with these six that seemed the most practical as a way to get this started. So we were not looking at sprinklers at all when we discussed these, the list of universal design elements.
You're looking more on a handicap, a physical handicap.
No. Yeah.
No,
I mean,
because universal design is not just for people with disabilities, nor is it for people who are aging. It benefits anybody at any age, regardless of age or ability
right.
level.
I mean, one of the things that we were saying is that if you were building a unit within an age-restricted community, what of these design elements would make a lot of sense to include in one of those units? And particularly, you've been around this for a long time. All of these things are extremely inexpensive to put in when you're in the building phase, as opposed to going back and trying to reinforce tub walls and that kind of thing. So we actually started with a list of design elements and came up with these six for this particular.
I support the ordinance, believe me. It's just that my question was on the safety end.
We actually did not look at the whole sprinkler issue at that point.
Because I will say, Ms. Young is very well prepared and extremely knowledgeable. I think we need to be finding out if she has any spare time because we have a lot of committees that we've done.
Yes.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I don't want to get into the discussion of sprinklers, but I just want to say, you read the ordinance, the first sentence of the description, this amendment will serve to encourage the inclusion of universal design standards as an option in residential development. And sprinklers are currently an option if someone wants to get them. So.
Thank you.
Councilman Street.
Well, the door got open and I'm going to push it back a little bit further because the fact of the matter is, as we speak, in the new houses that are built, they're required all to have smoke detectors. If there's two floors, three floors, if one goes off, the ones on every floor go off, and they all have battery backup. Second, seniors sometimes have difficulty with some of the technical aspects of things, and one of the things that's real clear, if it goes off in one room, it doesn't go off until somebody comes in, turns it off, and then you've got to replace the head. And you've got two different water systems, one your main water and then the water system for your sprinkler system. So it's six on one hand, half dozen on the other.
But that's not. I was just saying that's not part of Councilwoman Gilbert's ordinance, so we didn't want to.
I understand. It's not part of the ordinance.
Very he was clearly, going to debate you a little
but,
bit.
Since we're talking.
Right.
The door got open.
You don't need to go through it, though.
There's one side open, but there's also another side. I just want to make sure everybody was aware of the other side, since the other side got mentioned.
Additional questions or comments from anybody in the room? Okay, well, Councilman Dillon, we look forward to entertaining that.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Councilman Smiley.
And I just want to note that it's the eight-month birthday of Councilwoman Diller's ordinance, so it'll be a nice little present.
Thank you.
Oh, should we get a cake?
You buying?
Absolutely.
Not out of office account.
Out of my grant money.
No.
Grant money. Mini grants. Not that
okay.
I don't have those.
12-068, revised Chapter 40, Newcastle County Code, also known as your development code, regarding open space turnover. Very simply, had an issue come up, not even in my district, but I was a part of it because it's a family member, where DelDOT decided that they could begin turning over one street at a time in communities and making the communities responsible for it, although the community had no community organization in place. When that took place, I spoke with Dave Kohler and Mr. Haggerty, and we had some conversations, and as it turns out, when that first thing took place, some developers started trying to make the interpretation of our code that, hey, we can start doing this with little pieces of the open space. All this does is clarify that that cannot be done. Now, I have been approached by a couple of developers who said, well, what about the larger plans that are being brought in phases? And I will tell you up front, my suggestion to them was, that's something to be looked at in the future. I'm willing to discuss it with you. However, I would suggest you go through the two co-chairs of land use. So that's where I've left that, you know, with them. But again, we don't believe that the current code would allow it. But why sit here and try to do something after someone's done it or been in it, or end up telling a community, well, they did it, and now you've got to take them to court to try to undo it? We can close the door before it happens, and that's all this does. And by the way, on the state level, they are working to rectify so that DelDOT can't do the street by street in those communities that don't, because this community is meant to have a maintenance corporation. Then they had to rush and basically beg those that had moved into the community that were on that street, there were more streets, but the one street, to get them to contribute money so that they could form a civic, so they could be eligible for the snow reimbursement program. So that's really what started this, and just trying to be proactive instead of reactive. That's all.
And Councilman, your ordinance predominantly is, you're talking about the open space, not the streets.
That's right.
That's right.
The streets were what triggered it.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. And it's been through the plus, been through the planning board, land use department, and it had the support.
Did we see Councilman or General Manager Culver? Have we seen this in a lot of communities, or is this just basically erupted to an issue?
The street by street turnover?
No, the issue the that Councilman's talking about with the trying to turn over small pieces.
No, because it's been the department's position, you're not able to do that under the UDC.
And this is just to.
And this, nothing's been done, you're just clarifying it.
Done, and actually, as you look, these are just a couple of miscellaneous sentences that were in Article 27. Partially, when we went back and looked at the record of how they got there, I believe that this was trying to address that when you're doing your open space in each phase of development, that the stormwater facilities and all that are in place and operational before you move on to your next phase. So it was more part of the Green Technology Ordinance back in 2002. And this is just clarifying and taking it out, so we don't need to do it anyhow, but this removes all the doubt.
Councilman Powers?
Yes. Really, one started with the roads was now in your district.
Thank you.
Is Farmington, and part of that was the snowfall. The developer didn't plow the roads. So DelDOT, he had already put a final coat, turned it over, which now a developer's looking probably, you know, in other developments, which happened to be in my district too.
But
at the time.
Talk about.
Yeah, at the time. One thing I just have to say, and that was part of the, we had to start a civic group in Farmington to take care of the snowfall and the snow removal. You do not want to turn these open spaces over, because Farmington's a prime example. The stages all go into the stormwater pond, which is now a silt retention pond that will need to be cleaned out once they pull out of there. So if you turn that pond over, it will become the responsibility of the people living in there, not the developer. So I this, anything to help to keep it that way. We know it's that way right now. You do not want to turn, and who has most of the bigger ones are Councilman Bell and myself. You don't want them turned over until they have to be turned over. The ponds are stormwater retention, but they're the silt ponds as they're building. And what the real problem is going to be in Farmington in the long run is they pumped out all the dirt out of all the sewer drains, but the stuff is still uphill that's going to be built. So somebody will have to clean them out again as they build, as the silt goes down through the stormwater drains. And that ponds then at that time will have to be dipped out to get back to what it's supposed to be. And but we've gone through this, meaning my office, a couple times. So that was, we've been to Dover with DelDOT. It's just been a real mess. So, but I can see after we did it to take care of a problem there, somebody's like, well, let's start turning roads over a little bit at a time, because it's not being built out as fast as it was
right. Five,
6 years ago. So they want to give up their responsibility.
Additional questions, members of council? Anybody from the public? We see none. Anybody have anything under other? Public comment? Okay. And Councilman Hollins and Council President Bullock did join us early on.
There's a cricket in here. Find that thing.
Motion to adjourn. Now that the cricket's called tonight.
In second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
That's pretty cool. So you got to, you know, they got to present the options to the buyer and the age-restricted community.
And we work with the Home Builders Association.